news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
My friend, I can only say this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human.
Leonard Nimoy, best known for his role as Spock on the TV series Star Trek, has died at the age of 83. Played a little tribute to him for those of you who are familiar with him. I'm sure you recognize it from Star Trek II. It's the end of Captain Kirk's speech at the funeral for Spock when Spock died. But it's not a terrible shock. I mean, obviously these people are going to die eventually anyway, and you know, he lived a very good life, had a pretty successful career. The last tweet on his Twitter account, the real Nimoy, a life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory. And he finished it with LLAP, which is short for Live Long and Prosper. You're listening to That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com and rantentertainmentmedia.com. Celebrity deaths don't really bother me, and this one's not really bothering me, but it's a little upsetting because I grew up watching Star Trek with my dad, and don't get me wrong, the original Star Trek ran from 66 to 69. I'm not that old. But it was on in syndication when I was growing up. And, I remember sitting there with my dad, and this is what really kind of got me into sci-fi, this and Star Wars. And it was so campy, and the acting really just wasn't phenomenal, but it was so good at the same time. You know, and Spock was the... He was the guy who kind of kept everything together for the people on the Enterprise. You know, he was the logical one. If it defied logic, he told you, and he tried to, didn't really understand humor, and, you know, just, I don't know, I had a connection with him, even though I get humor and sarcasm. After the show ended, he really tried to not become associated. You know, he didn't want to be Spock forever. And unfortunately, that's kind of how it worked out for him. He did come later on to embrace it. You know, he did write two books, one in 1975, and he titled it I Am Not Spock, and then one in 1995 where he entitled it I Am Spock. So I guess, you know, kind of wanted to, he embraced the fact that he will forever be Spock much before the second book, obviously. Probably even before the first book. But Leonard Nimoy also went on to play roles as Paris in Mission Impossible for a few years. And then he hosted a TV series called In Search Of, which I don't know if many people remember it. I do remember it. They would probe mysteries and try to figure out things like the Loch Ness Monster and what happened with Amelia Earhart and things like that. As for what exactly went on in the show, I really couldn't tell you exactly, but, you know, I do remember watching the show. He did later on come back and reprise his role as Spock in Star Trek The Next Generation as an elder Spock, obviously. Went on, did some Broadway, did A Streetcar Named Desire, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Fiddler on the Roof. Also directed some movies such as Three Men and a Baby. You know, but it's disappointing. I mean, it's Spock, man. You know, he did. I guess you could say he reprised his role as Spock again on Futurama, where he played Leonard Nimoy's head. If you guys watch Futurama, if you haven't, you really should. I'm a big fan of the show. I've seen every episode numerous times. But you know. It's sad. It's sad. Now, his very good friend, William Shatner, went on to say, "I love him like a brother. We will all miss his humor, his talent, and his capacity to love." He was apparently a very loving, generous person. And, yeah, he's definitely going to be missed, even though right now came out that William Shatner is actually going to miss the funeral of his good friend because of a previous engagement where he's doing something for the Red Cross. So, I don't know. I don't know really how to feel about that. But, I don't know. My good friend died. I kind of canceled whatever I was doing. I understand you have commitments as a celebrity and things like that, but these guys cancel things all the time. You know, your funeral, a funeral for your close friend, you know, you kind of gotta make an exception at some point, I guess. And why Bill Shatner's not doing it now is beyond me. But no matter which way you cut it, he's not going to be there. But let's just leave it at that. So, again, you're listening to That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com. Check out all the great shows there. Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com. Check us out on there also. A lot of great shows there. Today, my wife woke up and said, "Oh, I need to get a new vacuum." I said, "Okay, what happened to the old one?" Apparently the old one literally shit the bed. Well, not the bed, but the carpet. And as it was trying to vacuum things up, it just decided to smoke and take everything that it had vacuumed up and dump it back out on the floor. Thankfully, my sister-in-law doesn't live too far away. She was able to come over. My wife vacuumed things up real quick. Whatever. So we decided we're going to, because we bought the vacuum in Costco. And the great thing about Costco is when you buy things like that, you can bring it back there and exchange it. You know, you get a credit and you swap it out for the next model higher or whatever. So we go to do that. Wound up having to put down an extra $100 to get another vacuum. Because, you know, the cheapest one they had was like $200. Which is fine. I mean, it is what it is. You got to keep the house clean, right? But going to Costco changes you, man. The time you're in there, it changes you. You could be the nicest person in the world, but walking around this store makes people incensed and crazy. And just, you want to do things to people that you normally wouldn't. You know, you're walking around, somebody gets in your way, you just want to punch them. You know, you're like, "What the? Get out of the way!" You know, and then and that's just as you're walking through the aisles and trying to figure out what you need and, you know, how much toilet paper does one need? I can buy a year's worth right here. Oh, that's great. You know, you buy we bought the kids a box of Eggo waffles. They go nuts over this stuff. I got enough waffles to last me probably until the summertime. All right, and that's with the kids eating them. Let's say they eat them every day. All right. The amount of things you can get there is obviously insane. You all know this. I'm sure everybody's been to a Costco or a Costco-type store, whether it be a BJ's or a Sam's Club or whatever they call it in your neck of the woods. But people in these stores are just ridiculous. They walk around with a complete disregard, and I have issues walking around in stores anyway because people stop in the middle of the aisles and just, like, you know, it's part of the current times where, you know, it's all about me, you know, and I don't care about anybody else. I'm just going to stop in the middle of the aisle and make everybody else walk around me. I have a tendency to let these people know how I feel about that. They don't necessarily like it. I don't care. I try not to do it in front of my children because, you know, I don't want them to think it's really okay to do that, even though I really kind of think it is sometimes. You know, people deserve to hear, you know, the fact that they're a fucking idiot. But, you know, it changes you. And it's hard walking around there with children, too, to begin with. That's another challenge. But, you know, it even changed, like, the way me and my wife interacted with each other. Granted, we fight. It happens. We're a married couple. We've been together for 13 years. You're going to fight. It's not a big deal. But, I mean, we're just like, we're looking at each other, but it's just like, we're bitter at each other because we're here, you know? It's like, oh, do you want this? I don't care. Just get whatever you want. I want to get the hell out of here. And then you get online. Now, this is, being online in Costco is probably more high stress than most jobs out there. Okay, and I deal with a pretty high stress job. And what amazes me, I mean, just about people in general, is the fact that they have no regard for a line. They'll just walk through the line and not give a rat's ass. Okay? Well, in this particular scenario, well, it's not really a scenario, this is what happened. You know, my son decided he has to go to the bathroom. I had to run off, take him to the bathroom. I come back and you know, my wife, she had moved up in line and was actually checking out, which was, I thought was a record. It was like 5 minutes I was gone. But part of the reason was because they kind of took her up there because she almost got into a fist fight. Woman is walking. We had two carts because we had to put the stuff in one and the kids had to be in another. Because God forbid they sit in the regular seats or walk. They have to sit in the back of the cart. Yeah, I know. I'm not a big fan of it either. I really not. But you do what you got to do to keep your kids mellow in a situation like this. So my wife is pushing one cart and pulling the other as I'm taking my son to the bathroom. And this woman decides she's going to walk right where my wife is with her cart and basically try to run her over. So my wife, who for the most part doesn't really have a bad temperament, but you bring the Brooklyn out in her and shit's about to get real. You know, so this woman basically tried to run my wife over, and my wife decides, you know, she reacts. She calls her out. You know, because my, you know, her mama bear instincts kicked in and said, you know, you're trying to separate me from my child in a store like this, you're out of your fucking mind. So apparently words were had and things like that. And my wife was like, I was going to punch her in the face. I'm like, well, you can't do that. You know, she knows that. She's like, I was going to kick this woman's ass. I didn't care. I'm like, really? I was like, you know, big mouth like yours, you should be able to handle a situation without having to hit somebody. Although I do completely understand there are plenty of times where I want to smack somebody in the face, punch them in the mouth, you know, things like that. Then you walk out, you put everything in the car, and you drive away. Now, you're still a little tense as you're in the parking lot because people in there are just freaking stupid, too. It's not until you pull up in front of your house where you can mellow out. I don't know why. I don't know why, but this store is quite possibly one of the most stressful experiences, and we don't go there very often anymore. You know, it's because of the experience. You know, it's not a pleasurable experience. I mean, food shopping never is, let's be honest. But in a store like this, it's absolutely insane. And the way people react in there is just, the way, well, not just react, but act is, just ridiculous. But, all right, that's enough about my day. Let's go on to what happened in the world over the last week or so. We're going to start out local for me in Millville, New Jersey. Now, where in New Jersey that is exactly, I have no idea. But a school bus aide has been charged with stealing lunch money and bagged lunches from preschoolers. From preschoolers. Okay? She's thieving lunches and lunch money from 3 and 4 year olds. How fucked up is that? What kind of miscreant are you that you do this? Now, I was trying to come up with other good adjectives and things like that, and I put it up on the Facebook page and, you know, check out the story. Miscreant was the best word I can come up with on a short notice there, you know, just trying to come up with something. But police say that the 33-year-old Rosa Rios was caught on surveillance camera rummaging through students' backpacks. Apparently, she was supervising these kids in the months of January and February. Authorities first reviewed footage because the bus driver complained that someone had stolen $400 from her. Rios is also under investigation for that. So the bus company she works for terminated her, obviously. And she's been there for 7 years. Now, listen. Times are tough. I get it. I completely get it. But you're stealing money from little kids. You know, that's like the ultimate shitbag move. How do you steal money from little kids? You know, they're on a school trip and, you know, I don't know why they would leave money in there, in the bus or anything like that. It doesn't make sense to me, but, you know, they're on a school trip. Maybe they, you know, their parents gave them $5 because they wanted to get like a souvenir or something. And, you know, and I say $5 and it's probably not $5 because what the hell can you get for $5? But, you know, I mean, this could have been their parents' last little bit of money for the week. They were hoping for a little change, you know, the kind of thing. Don't be a scumbag. I mean, you're stealing from fucking kids. What kind of an asshole do you have to be to do that? I mean, miscreant was the nicest word I could come up with. I mean, obviously, you've heard I can come up with other colorful words for it. But what a cunt. Holy shit, man. I'm sorry. It makes me angry. She was charged on Friday with robbery and theft. She's being held on $70,000 bail. And apparently, the Huffington Post couldn't reach her for comment. I wonder why. A little update on a story I did on either the first or second show. And for those of you who haven't checked it out yet, go back and to morelikeradio.org, download section, look up That Awful Podcast. You'll find all the shows there. You could also go on to my YouTube channel, youtube.com, That Awful Podcast. And all the episodes I've done so far are there in video format. You're not going to see my beautiful face, but, you know, I do throw some pictures back there, the logo and, you know, the networks I'm on and things like that. And you could hear the entire thing almost commercial free. So, and when I say commercials, I don't add commercials into my YouTube channel. I, you know, sometimes put the ads on for the networks and things like that. But, you guys remember Paul Bennett? Yeah, he sounds familiar, right? Yeah. He was the guy in England who was arrested for having sex with a mailbox. Yeah, you heard me correct. An Englishman who admitted he had tried to have sex with a mailbox was found dead on Sunday. Paul Bennett pled guilty to 2 counts of indecent exposure and using threatening and abusive words with abusive behavior. If you don't remember, he was drunk, he was belligerent, and shooting his mouth off in front of a bunch of kids and things like that. Apparently, they found him dead behind the Shanghai Palace Chinese restaurant in Wingen in Greater Manchester on Sunday. They're investigating the cause of death, but they don't think it was suspicious. He did plea out, and this was from the September 9th, 2014 incident, which he attempted to have sex with a mailbox. Yeah, I mean, kind of weird that he would die behind a restaurant and not have it be listed as suspicious. I mean, was it a drug overdose? Somebody kill him? Maybe the mother got pissed off, said, you were having sex with a mailbox in front of my kids, and then you got mouthy, I obviously, I don't know, but I mean, they don't feel as suspicious. Maybe they just don't. Maybe it is suspicious. They just don't care. But just want to put a little bow on that one for you guys, just in case you were wondering what happened. So, now let's move on. This story entertained me. We're going to head over to California for this one, over in San Francisco. Two men who were suspected of vandalism had to be rescued after becoming stranded on a cliff in the San Francisco area National Park. Wow. This was a shitty escape route. Apparently, the men who were not identified were believed to have defaced a historic military building in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. They wound up getting, excuse me, they got stuck down a deep cliff when trying to escape park rangers. One of the men was lifted to safety by police helicopter, and the other was saved by rangers and firefighters who had to use climbing gear. So, you would think if you're going to do something stupid, I mean, maybe it's just me and the fact that I like to plan shit out a little bit. If you're going to do something stupid and run the risk of getting caught, which, listen, if you're going to do something stupid, you always run that risk. But you would kind of want to know what your best escape routes are going to be. Now, I can't imagine that all of a sudden you just got swarmed by all these park rangers and things like that. They didn't just come out of the woodwork. You probably started out with one guy sitting there going, "Hey, what are you doing?" No one escape route. Be like, "Oh shit." And I can't imagine everybody all of a sudden just kind of cutting you off like in the movies, because real life doesn't happen that way. Real life, if somebody turns a corner quick, the people chasing him don't necessarily know which corner that he turned that corner. They get lost. It happens. You didn't know the a good way out when you got confronted with it, and now you got caught. I mean, listen, the rescue, I would assume you would consider epic. You had to be rescued by helicopter and shit like that. But number one, why are you defacing a military monument? It's disrespectful. It's just fucked up. Not something I'm into. I don't see why you would want to do that. I don't see the reason behind doing that. But you thought it was a cool thing to do. I mean, hey, you could have changed the sign on a church, I mean, I've heard of people doing that, but just have a better escape route, man. How is it possible that you wind up on a cliff hanging off going, "Oh shit, what'd we do?" Can you imagine the conversation with these two? Because one of them wanted to have a better escape route, and the other one was like, no, we don't need to worry about it. Dude, I told you we should have thought about this. Man, I told you we weren't going to get caught. Yeah, but we did, you asshole. Now what are we going to do? Now we're hanging off a goddamn cliff, and now we're both going to get caught." Just think about things, man. Life is hard enough, and now to make it worse, not only are these guys pissed off, these park rangers and these cops and all that, they're not just pissed off because they had to, number one, you're defacing a national monument. Number two, they had to chase you. These guys don't want to chase anybody if they don't have to, okay? Obviously, ideal world, everybody just, "Oh, you got me. Here I am." So now they had to chase you. Not only did they have to chase you, now they have to rescue you. That is a whole nother level of pissed off. Okay? So these guys probably got verbally abused, made fun of and things like that. But, yeah, well, whatever. You guys are a couple of fucking idiots as far as I'm concerned. So here we are, we're approaching the half hour mark of the show. So I am going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got some things to talk about. A new BDSM type Tinder app. Hell's for sale. And who is this guy's name? Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. Apparently gave quite the epic speech the other day. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantemradio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, Double A here to tell you that Rant Entertainment Media is bigger and better than ever with our huge lineup of original first-run programming. Things kick off on Monday at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney and That Awful Podcast. And at 11:15 p.m. following Monday Night Raw, join Lee and Rage live for Freaks and FN Geeks. Then on Tuesday nights, join myself, Double A, and Tony C for The Mothership, The Rant, live at 8 p.m. Take a trip back in time on Wednesday nights with Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. Thursday nights bring you another doubleheader with the Rexplex hosted by Rex Watson at 7 p.m., followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. You can expect a new episode of the Lex Podcast every Friday hosted by Lexicon. Sit back late on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with William Morgan and the Wrestling Call-In Show live. And bring it back home at 5 p.m. on Sundays with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb live. And you can tune into any of these programs by just going to rantemradio.com. And don't forget to take us with you on the go by downloading the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device and simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. So don't miss out on anything we have to offer you each and every day. It's your one-stop source for endless opinions and quality entertainment. All right here at rantemradio.com.
And we're back. That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantemradio.com. On More Like Radio, it's every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. on rantemradio.com. It is from 7 to 8 p.m. Check out all the shows on both networks, man. Absolutely fantastic lineups. I'm very blessed to be on two great networks. More Like Radio, you have shows like Dutch and Roy's, Hippo Juice, My Time Now, Alcohol by Volume, The Sully Show, The Cousin Joe Show, Conti and Kenny. Eventually, allegedly, Brain Stew's coming back. I'm still waiting for it. On On the Rant, you have The Wrestling Call-In Show, Freaks and Geeks, which is on also on Mondays. My boy Phil Rea with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Him and Dave Mega Powers. I'm still getting used to all the shows on the Rant. I'm sorry, guys, if I'm forgetting anything, but check out all the shows. You're not going to be disappointed. Again, I like to think I only associate myself with some of the best networks out there, and I listen to the show, so why the hell wouldn't you? With that being said, there is a new app coming out, or it's already out, and you know, I right now, Tinder is the great social media app for singles or just, you know, quick hookups. And, you know, you're getting whatever you get. So now, there's a new app called Whippler for the BDSM enthusiast. here's a description that's listed on iTunes. Connect with people who share your fetishes and kinks, such as fashion, accessories, sounds, etc., discreetly and anonymously with Whippler. Chat, send photos, or video chat securely, all in one user-friendly app. Download today and embark on your personal 50 Shades of Grey journey. Grief. Just another 50 Shades of Grey reference. It doesn't link to your Facebook, so that's a good thing, so you can keep all your perversions to yourself. Not that anybody keeps really anything to themselves lately. It's, I mean, in the era of social networking, everybody knows everything about everyone. It's really kind of sad. Some of the categories on Whippler, W-H-I-P-L-R, fashion, objects, behavior, materials, accessory, and sounds. So if you're into pegging, it will find a gal who's down for plugging your love holes. I don't even want to know what that means. I mean, listen, I have my perversions and I have my kinks and things like that, and we're not going to get into that because, you know, my mom does listen to the show sometimes. Actually, I think she's listened to the show every show, and she actually called me out on some language I may have used on a previous show. But, you know, hi, Mom. So, it's available on Android and Apple. It offers free video chats, calls, real-time messaging with individuals who also appreciate, you know, boot worship or trampling or scrotal inflation. Don't look that one up. I read that off the article, and I read scrotal inflation, and I was like, what? And then it said, don't look that one up. Apparently, there's a free version and a pay version, obviously. The free version allows users to search profiles and have access to messaging and voice calls, video chat, and animated sparks. The app also offers a paid subscription called Decadom, which gives users unlimited access and all the pony slave play you desire. Listen, this is obviously being more popularized now because of 50 Shades of Grey. Okay? I'm just tired of the 50 Shades of Grey references. You know, it seems like you can't go a full day without hearing at least one 50 Shades of Grey reference. Whether it's... excuse me. Whether it's your coworkers talking about it. I don't know. I mean, I know men and women who have seen it. More women than men. But... you know, people who've read the book, and, you know, that's the one thing I haven't heard yet. I haven't heard the book versus movie debate yet. I'm waiting for it. I really don't want to hear it, but you know it's going to happen eventually. Well, you know, that wasn't in the book, and I think the book was better. Oh, I think the movie was better. Whatever. Who cares? It's about a guy who's into some kinky shit, and he gets a woman to do what he's got to do. Or what she's got to do. Whatever you want. But, so let's see, gonna read a little quote here, from Daniel Sevitt, Whippler's chief communications officer. I think the genius of 50 Shades was that it tapped into something that was already happening. People were starting to feel more comfortable expressing their curiosity about BDSM and other kinks, and 50 Shades took one aspect of the fantasy life, handsome, dominant male, meets beautiful virgin submissive, and brought it into bookstores and now into the multiplex. Well, not necessarily an app I could download on my phone to check out. My wife may get a little upset at me. A lot of explaining I don't want to have to do. If anybody out there wants to check it out and just let us know about it, please. Please let us know. I don't want to say I'm curious as to the type of person you're going to meet, but I'm curious as to how well it actually works, you know. Are you meeting the right kind of people that you're looking for? You know, is this something where it's, you know, as soon as you pull up in the driveway, they're ready for you? Or is it something that, you know, they want to be wined and dined a little and then, you know, well, 69. Yeah, I know. I haven't used that since high school. But I'm bringing it back. Why the hell not? I can do that. I got things. I got a radio show. Now we're going to go over to the Detroit area where Hell is for Sale. And they actually started a GoFundMe type account. I don't remember what it was exactly. But there is a group that puts on an art show called Damned, an exhibition of enlightened darkness at an abandoned church. You know, which, hey, let's face it, it seems like an appropriate venue. You know, why not? But they'd like to host it in 5 acres of hell. Well, the group is called Damned. They stage their annual visual arts show, masquerade, and performances in Detroit. Is hell-bent on raising $1,333,666 to purchase the holdings of Hell, Michigan, where members plan to build a performing arts center. They launched a Kickstarter campaign in order to get the funds. Now, if you click on the article, it is in the Facebook page, so you can check it out there. Very interesting poster, to say the least. Let's see, it's the tagline here. It says, "This is not hell, but something much more." And they kind of leave it at that. There's a couple periods on there to keep you, let your imagination wander. Let's see, going on in the article here. Apparently, it's a very popular destination. An excuse for puns, obviously. Located 60 miles west of Detroit, tourists can attend the annual Hearse Fest or Blessed in Hell Motorcycle Rally, marry in the Chapel of Love, or get a degree from Damnation University. Damnation University. The abbreviation, the shortened form of that would be Damn You. I like that. It's cute. Or you just take your picture in front of this town sign just to prove that they visited the underworld, so to speak. John Colon, who owns the holdings of Hell and is the unofficial mayor, announced February 13th, of course that was Friday the 13th, that he was selling the property for just under $1 million. There it goes. The exact price is $999,666, obviously, plus tax. Besides the five-acre property, university, and chapel, the Hell holdings include a souvenir store, an ice cream shop, and a weather station, post office, and a mini golf course. Ooh. And then there is the Gates of Hell canoe and kayak rental operation. obviously, their merchandising is quite possibly the most lucrative thing, and the associated online pages for the town are also included in the listing. The sale is being handled by real estate agent Rick Bodine, who calls himself the Pickney Pirate. I don't even want to know what the hell that is. I'm just leaving it there. Damned member Anthony DVS told WXYZ the group has been searching for an abandoned church or warehouse in the Detroit area for their venue, but as the Kickstarter page notes, they couldn't pass up this divine opportunity. So the quote here from the Kickstarter page says, "So we ask you, the fine citizens of the world, to help us unleash Hell 2.0 on Earth. There were no soul contracts to sign, no firstborns to give." Well, I suddenly feel very confident and comfortable with this. I have no issue with this, really. It's just, you know, funny to me. But some of the perks for the top donations for the crowdfunding campaign includes a chance to have your name scribed eternally upon the walls of Hell 2.0 and a personalized parking spot in Hell. Well, I actually thought I had my spot reserved a long time ago, but why the hell not? Yeah, see what I did there? And the article goes on to make a pun here, which is, I'm going to read just because I want to give it the old boo, but some might think an outsider arts group has a snowball's chance in hell of raising more than $1 million by March 22nd. Yeah, you heard it. Snowball's chance in hell. And ironically, Hell, Michigan, I'm sure gets plenty of snow. The crowdfunding campaign raised more than $40,000 in its first few days with very little publicity. So, there is an outside chance they're going to raise this money. There is an outside chance they're going to raise this money, and this group is going to be able to purchase Hell. I don't even know what to think about that, man. I mean, you know what? Again, it's one of those things where, yeah, it'd probably be cool to sit there and say, "I own Hell." You know the guy who does it, though? Listen, the group Damned is going to be doing it. There's going to be one guy that's going to change his name to Satan, the Devil, or Beelzebub, or whatever the hell. There's always that one guy. You know, we all know that one guy that would do it. I mean, I'm not necessarily above doing it, but I think I would get more grief if I actually changed my name to something demonic like that. You know. My mom definitely wouldn't be happy. She likes to yell. I'm kidding. She used to like to yell. Not anymore. So, The last article I have here for today, and I may actually have to dig another one up because it doesn't look like I might not be able to stretch this out for the remainder of the time I have. Or maybe I'll just end the show a little early. I haven't quite decided yet. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty star, gave a very unusual speech at a conservative activist gathering. Why can't I speak? A quote from him here from his speech. You say, what did you call the 110 million people who have sexually transmitted diseases? It's the revenge of the hippies, Robertson declared. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll have come back to haunt us in a bad way. I report, you decide. It's kind of interesting coming from a dude who, him and his family, look like a bunch of hippies. I'm sure they wouldn't like me saying that, but... he devoted much of his speech to discussing sexually transmitted disease, and basically what he was trying to get across was that Americans should marry their sexual partners and then stay married. No, I don't think that's necessarily right. Here we go, another quote from his speech. You want a godly, biblical, medically safe option? One man, one woman, married for life. I'm trying to help you, for crying out loud, America. Let me read that again. I'm trying to help you, for crying out loud, America. If I didn't care about you, why would I bring this up? I wouldn't care. Oh, well, let's face it. I mean, who's really heard much about Duck Dynasty since his racist rant? You know? I mean, is it getting ready to come back? Because that could be a very good reason why you would suddenly care, quote unquote. You know, people like to talk a lot about stupidity, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. I get that. You know, I mean, I respectfully read people's shit on Facebook and be like, I completely disagree with that. But I don't go off on a rant about it unless I feel passionately about it. And it's very rare that I see something on a social networking site that I feel that passionate about that I'm going to rant about. Yeah, you know, sometimes I'll put something up there to start things up a little bit. I do have some friends who are very political and are very opinionated about things, you know. I have one friend who I like to describe as a modern feminist. You know, her views are very different from mine on a lot of things. She's the kind of girl who, let's see, trying to find the one particular status that one of my friends posted. He actually changed. I don't know why he changed it, but he did. And, I don't know, he mentioned, you know, he said something about man hold on, I gotta find it out because it really kind of loses something without me reading it exactly. Give me a second here. Computer's just trying to load it. Okay, there it is. It's said that a man is only as good as his word, but this statement need not be gender specific. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And right away, you know, she just posted a big thank you with an exclamation point. Now, I guess I'm looking maybe a little too much into this. Again, it doesn't bother me, but I've seen some of her other posts and things like that, and you know, it's, I'm reading it as like the thank you for acknowledging the fact that it's not gender specific because you said man. Okay. Again, it's a very old quote. Man is only as good as his word. You know, I guess in the modern times, they want it to be said that a person is only as good as their word. Does it really matter, honestly? does it really matter? When you take something like that, you know, and you want to make an issue out of it where, the, you know, if he did say a man is only as good as his word and left it at that, if you make an issue out of it, you're actually, in my opinion, worse than the statement itself. You're the one making the issue out of it. You're the one that's creating a bigger problem than needs to be created. Okay? The bottom line is, I have a lot of friends on social networking, and, I mean, let's face it, who doesn't at this point? You know, and people put up shit all the time. Okay? My friends put up stuff, I look at it, I'm like, oh, all right, you know, there's this, and there's that, there's the, I don't want to cause drama, but I'm going to cause drama status. If you don't like it, move on. Just move on. Don't try to turn something I put on my page into a political debate, unless it's meant to be a political debate. Don't try to turn it into a gender-based debate. It's not that. I try to keep shit on my page funny. I'm not always successful. Hey, listen. You know, even Robin Williams wasn't funny all the time. But stop with this oversensitive, butthurt bullshit. Okay? And it really doesn't matter what I say, okay, even though the argument can be made that employers can go and look at your Facebook page and things like that, and I'm not down with that, man. I don't think what I put on my personal Facebook page should be interpreted into what my potential employment is going to be like. That's kind of bullshit as far as I'm concerned. You know? But, I mean, let's face it, the bottom line is this is the world we live in. These employers want to know what goes on and what this person feels about certain things, and they're going to look shit up. But, all right, so we're just going to... I'm gonna finish with this little thing now. I'm done ranting on about people being butthurt on fucking Facebook. Apparently, his speech was, we're going back to Phil Robertson. He was unquestionably one of the more colorful ones at the conservative event. Apparently, there were a bunch of likely Republican presidential candidates. He also went on to deviate into several other topics during the address, including Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, the Islamic State jihadists in the Middle East. Wow. Apparently, he compared them, saying that they wanted territorial conquest, killed people, and didn't believe in Jesus. How do you know that, first off? Again, it's religion shit. Whatever. I'm sorry, it wasn't a racist rant that he went on. It was a rant about homosexualities and compared that with bestiality. But, the last quote from him: some people study the Constitution to uphold it, but there are some who study it so that they can circumvent it. Stand on the Bible, stand on the Constitution, don't budge, hold on to your weapons. We had to have all three to run the Brits back to where they came from. We had to have all three when the Nazi reared their head. You say Nazis? World domination was what Hitler had on his mind. Territorial conquest. There is no Jesus. None. Listen, just because the guy had lofty dreams of world domination doesn't mean he didn't believe in Jesus. People believe in whatever they want. You know, I'm not saying it was a very Christian thing to do. You know, especially when you start killing the Jews, that wasn't cool on any level, really. But, again, you know, it's people taking things, twisting them around to what they want. And that's one thing people have to take into consideration too. You take whatever you want and twist it to however you want, and you interpret it however you want. Okay, you and I can read the same thing. I can get one interpretation out of it. You can get another interpretation out of it. You know, there are people who live and die by the Bible. I'm not a very religious person. I see the Bible as a storybook. Okay? And you can get twisted about it and do whatever you want. But the bottom line, I see the Bible as a storybook. Something that it could help you make decisions based on what Jesus or, you know, whatever the particular story is about did in that situation. If you want to base your life on that, then so be it. But the reason I consider it a storybook, you know, and I don't have much more time, so I'm only going to bring up one example, really. And the whole story with the burning bush. The burning bush spoke. Listen, you know, opium was heavy back then. Just saying. Again, I don't know why people get so crazy about the Bible, but they do. And take the stories, do whatever you want with them, so be it. Again, you don't have to agree with my opinion, but you did just listen to it. So, with that being said, we're going to put a bow on this bad boy for the week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Much appreciated. Check me out Mondays, 4 to 5 p.m., morelikeradio.com, right in between Papa's Basement and the Cut Print Film Podcast. Check out all the shows on there. And then if you miss me at the 4 o'clock show on Friday, because, you know, maybe you're trying to cut out of work early or whatever, catch me on the Rant, rantemradio.com, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., probably right shortly after you walk in the door, you know, take off your shoes, put on your slippers, have your dinner, pet the dog, tussle Billy's hair for doing his homework. You know, maybe he got an A on his test today. Good job, Billy. And then, you know, if you miss those shows, well, first off, shame on you. But go to the respective sites and download the show, man. Download the show. If you want to see what I do, how I do it on YouTube, go over to YouTube.com, look up That Awful Podcast, and all the episodes will be up there eventually. Well, the last episode, I'm just waiting for it to finish up, and I'm going to make it public shortly. So, thanks again for listening, everybody. Much appreciated. That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantemradio.com, RIP Leonard Nimoy. See you next week. We'll be right back.